Welcome to Lifestyle Solopreneur, the community for entrepreneurs who put lifestyle first. Join your host, Flavia Barris, as she interviews successful lifestyle solopreneurs and shares ideas to help you find the perfect balance between lifestyle, business, and self. Flavia is an attorney, marketing expert, and founder of several online academies. She's been featured in major media, including BBC World News, The Wall Street Journal, The New York Post, ESPN Television, and more. Join us for this episode of Lifestyle Solopreneur.
Hey, Lifestyle Solopreneurs. Today we speak with Sherry Rash. She has an over 17-year career in financial education. Over that career, she has seen how the lack of financial education and communication about money has negatively affected her whole generation. She is working to undo the taboo about money in a fun, comfortable, no-nonsense way. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
It is great to have you on the show because your whole focus is on finance, which I just think it's this like undertaught skill. We don't have enough classes, I think, in elementary and high school, middle school that focus on these skills. How did you get to where you are? I would love to know a little bit about your journey and how you ended up making this your profession.
Absolutely. And you're right. It's not talked about enough. We're not taught it. And that needs to change, which is what I'm striving to do. But I originally went to college. I actually graduated with a degree that I'm using. It's not too common nowadays, but I graduated with a finance degree, but I actually started wanting to be a news anchor. I started school wanting to be a journalist. I wanted to be a talking head on TV. And that just wasn't working out. Turns out I'm a very black and white person. And a lot of times in journalism and writing, there could be some gray areas. And my brain just didn't work that way. So I'm like, okay, what am I going to do? Let me jump on over to the business school since that just seemed like a logical place to end up. And I started taking finance classes and I really loved it. And I loved talking about money and solving problems, and it just worked. So when I graduated college, I set out to be a financial advisor. And much to my shock, I was not bringing in all this money to manage for clients. They really didn't trust a 22-year-old fresh out of college with their life savings. So I had a bit of a hard time for about a year or so. And then I was introduced to working behind the scenes and working with advisors with choosing products for their clients and educating advisors. So that's where I spent a long time in my career, was working with different product companies and educating advisors, traveling the country and really being on that side of the business. But I always had that nagging voice in my head saying, Sherry, this isn't exactly what you wanted to do. This wasn't what your plan was. So in 2019, I then made the switch and became an advisor. So I went to the other side of the desk.
Why is money taboo? So like, why do we have this issue where people don't feel comfortable talking about money? And some people do. So I'm not going to generalize and say nobody ever wants to talk about finances or money or strategies for savings or wealth or any of that. People do, but there's like an uncomfortableness there sometimes in conversations. But where do you think this comes from? Let's like dive into kind of the psychology of money for a second.
There's always the, what are things you don't talk about? Religion, sex, money, right? Those are like the three things you're raised not to speak about. And some of those are going by the wayside, but money still seems to be that topic. And I think it's for a couple of reasons. One, if you think about talking about money, most people think, I don't want to tell someone how much money I make or how much money I have. So I'm just going to keep quiet about it. Or you don't feel confident enough in anything that you're going to say about money. So you just, again, keep quiet about it because you're never taught it. So if we're never taught it, we never feel comfortable enough to have an educated conversation about money. And then we always feel like it is wrong to talk about it anyway, because that's what society told us, then we're still holding on to that and it's breaking, but it's really hard to break that thinking.
And what have the consequences been from this sort of lack of discussion and openness and transparency and sharing of information? What has this led to? What are the societal problems today around money?
Complete lack of financial education, I think, is the problem. If a parent doesn't speak to their child about money and show them how to make smart financial decisions, or any financial decisions for that matter, because it's taboo, or because it's as a child, you don't need to know about that, or it's personal information, then we're never educated on it. We're never taught. So then we then enter adulthood and we're somehow expected to just know what to do with money, which isn't fair, and it's completely unrealistic.
And what are some of the biggest goof ups really that happen when people don't have the right education or background and have never learned what they need to learn about finance? What ends up happening when they reach adulthood? What are some of their big sort of mess ups?
It could just be a lack of management, lack of decisions, getting into debt. I remember when I was in college, there were credit card companies giving out t-shirts if you signed up for a credit card. That's crazy. So kids, I know I had friends and classmates that got into credit card debt in college because they signed up for a t-shirt. They didn't understand how a credit card worked, how credit worked. So debt, not saving for retirement. When I speak with my younger clients that are starting their professional lives, I say, this sounds crazy, but although you just got your first job, we actually need to start thinking and planning for when you exit your working in general and retirement. So a lack of planning for retirement, a lack of money management, maybe making some decisions that aren't very smart tax-wise. As we get older, our parents are aging and we may receive an inheritance. Well, not understanding what you're receiving and just thinking all money's equal could create a real big tax burden for you. So there's so many things, from small mistakes to big goof-ups, that anyone can experience just from the lack of a conversation, lack of money knowledge, lack of money conversations.
And I see this too. In my work, I do a lot with helping people create trusts and write their wills, and I'm an attorney. So I've seen on the other side too, where someone will inherit wealth and they have no idea. Their parents designated them as the person who would carry on the family business or carry on some real estate investments, whatever it is. And the child inherits and has no idea anything about it because it was never really talked about. So there's also, I see that, this lack of planning and thinking about the future. Maybe as humans, we don't want to think about the future, because if we think about the future and we take it out far enough, we're also like anticipating our own demise someday. I don't know about you, but I haven't met a person yet who's going to live forever. So no one really wants to think about that. So maybe it's all combined into one. If you just avoid thinking about what might happen to you someday, then you're also not going to think about even a decade from now or 5 years from now, because it's just easier to focus on today or maybe just next week or next month.
Right. If it's uncomfortable to think about, or you don't feel completely confident in the decision, you just avoid it or procrastinate. It's human nature, right? So if we're not comfortable with talking about money or not confident in what we're doing, it's better, well, it's there. I'll just keep doing as I'm doing and it'll be okay. It could be better, but it'll at least still be okay.
So those of us meeting you today, we're thinking probably one of two tracks. Either, wow, I actually want to have a career in finance too. So we'll talk about your career, what it's like to work in finance, to work in what you do. And there's people listening who may be interested in that as a career path. But then also there's a lot of, probably the majority of people listening going, oops, I haven't done enough planning. I really haven't. I fall into that camp of head in the sand. I don't want to think about the future because it's scary and uncertain. And why think about it when there's so much going on today to focus on? So let's do the first track first. What is it like to work in your field? What is like an average week in your life? What does this type of work entail?
This work, there's different routes. Every financial advisor you meet is one financial advisor. Every financial advisor can run their business or the way they work with clients so differently. And so as far as I go, I spend a lot of time meeting with my clients and educating them. doing true financial planning. So talking about something as simple as how much money do you want to have in your checking account? What makes you uncomfortable? All the way till who are your beneficiaries? How are we going to plan for retirement? Do you have enough money to retire? And everything in between. My clients, if they want to buy a house, how much mortgage can I afford? Does this make sense? Pay for my kids' college? Anything with a dollar sign, we are talking about. There are other advisors that deal solely with the investments and they just manage the money. But I'm much more holistic and comprehensive. So a lot of meetings with clients, and I tell my clients this when they join me initially, some of these meetings, a lot of these meetings will feel like financial therapy. They're sharing things with me that they may have never shared before. Their fears with money, there's crying, there's happiness. There's so many feelings that, and it feels good to just be in a place where, okay, I have someone in my corner that's going to help me navigate all this. Because you mentioned before, money personality, that is a real thing. And we have to identify it and then navigate it. And especially if we're dealing with a couple, it's very likely there's going to be two different money personalities. So navigating that and understanding it and creating a plan that works. And then I spend a lot of time blogging, podcasting, getting the word out there and trying to educate in a lighthearted, easy to understand way about these money topics that we could easily Google, how much should I have in an emergency fund, right? But when you have someone there speaking your language and not making it more complicated than it needs to be and creating something that speaks to you is so much more beneficial than just Googling it. So that's generally what I'm spending my time on.
And if someone listening says, I want this exact path, what would they do? Is there any kind of licensing state to state? Is there certification? Is there a kind of education you would need to go for? What does a career path look like from zero to being in this business 100%?
Yes, you would first have to affiliate yourself with a broker dealer and or a registered investment advisor, and they would serve as your compliance, your supervision. They're watching everything you do. My firm is called Greenway Wealth Advisory, but I have a whole organization behind me, dotting my I's, crossing my T's, making sure everything is done appropriately, documented, and in my client's best interest. You have to get licenses. I am Series 65663 life and health insurance license. So in order to offer your clients products, you have to have certain licenses in order to act as a investment fiduciary, which means it's a best interest. You have to be Series 65 or 66 certified. So you do have to go through education and testing in order to give advice, receive a fee, or receive compensation.
And what kind of hours do people in your career have? Because I'm sure it runs the gamut, right? There's different, you can work part-time, full-time, independently for an office, remote, not remote. I'm sure it's all over the place. But what would the expectation be if you're going to head into this career of the lifestyle? What is the lifestyle like?
My first 14 years of my career, I was traveling the country, waking up in a different city every day, thousands and thousands of miles in the car. And so that was fun. I enjoyed it so much. But when I made the switch to having my own business, having my own firm, I said, I can't spend every waking hour doing my job. I have four children. I actually started my firm when my twins, who are now four, were 2 months old, which was crazy. But I had to have a work-life balance. I necessarily did not have that before. So as long as you do and you serve your clients and do what you need to do, you can be as flexible as you want with your hours. I said, I'm never going to have a Monday morning staff meeting ever again. 9 to 5 is just not realistic for me, again, with four children and having a life. So finding ways to work smarter. So like I said before, every advisor is different. Every way an advisor works is different. There are some offices that are 9 to 5, but then there's others where I will work during the day, but then my clock has to stop at 2:30 because that's when 3 out of 4 of my kids get off the bus and then I'm taking a break and doing all of the activities. And then I'm having night meetings with my clients. And clients also prefer that because we're on Zoom. It's at their leisure, their schedule. They don't have to drive to an office. So I made it a point to be true to myself and be very, I want to have flexibility. I need to be there for my kids. And I also need to serve my clients in a way that works for them as well.
So switching to the other track, which is a lot of us listening are thinking, I'm not doing enough with looking at finances, planning for the future, all the smart adulting tasks that we should all do. So question for you, why do you think so many people don't consult with someone who's a financial planner? I would think if you walk out at any group of random people and say, raise your hand if you have a go-to financial planner, someone who you know very well and you meet with regularly, my guess is that not all the hands would go up. Like I don't know what that, would it be half the room, 20% of the room? I'm sure the statistics in your industry, how many adults have a financial planner and versus how many don't? And why do you think there's a barrier there keeping it from being 100% of hands raised?
That's a good question. I'll throw out a fun statistic, and I wish I had it exact, but I believe about 70% of people would rather go to the dentist than meet with a financial advisor.
Oh no! Whoa! Wait, you come beyond like dentists are above you in like people's desire to go see you.
Yes. So if that kind of explains the mentality of talking about money or meeting with an advisor, I say I strive to make my meetings way more fun than that. And hopefully my clients look forward to meeting with me. And my clients are not part of that 70%. But yes, it's pretty bad. And again, does it come back to money's taboo? It's uncomfortable to talk about. I feel inferior with the decisions I'm making. So I'm so embarrassed to even speak with someone about it because I think I may have been making the wrong decision. So again, it's better just to ignore the problem. Many advisors are a certain demographic, so old white guys. So is that intimidating for a young 26-year-old woman to speak with someone that feels like her father and maybe being talked down to or feeling inferior? There's so many things to it that as to why more people, maybe they feel like, I could just do this myself. So why do I need to pay someone to do this for me? Where on average, working with a financial advisor adds about 4% in additional value each year to your investment portfolio alone. So the numbers are there to support why it works. It pays off to work with a financial advisor. I think it might just come down to intimidation, not necessarily seeing the value. Money is also, in working with a financial advisor, it's not, you can't touch it, you can't hold it, right? It's intangible. So it might also be hard to feel the value that you're getting or you would get if you worked with an advisor.
And speaking of value, so I'm sure there's people who think, wow, having a person who is my financial advisor, that feels like it's something maybe trust fund babies do, or maybe celebrities or people like CEOs of companies who make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. And I'm just a normal person. I have a job. Yeah. I wouldn't consider myself that upper wealth bracket. So what do you say to people like that who think it's just too expensive and it's probably not for them because they don't have enough to manage? Well, they're like, why do I need someone to help me manage my money when there's just enough there to pay the bills and there's not leftover money to manage?
If you're Googling money questions, or if you have any money questions, you need an advisor, but you need to make sure that person is actually providing you advice, not just someone that is going to manage your money, quote unquote, or won't even speak to you if you don't have investable assets. So I actually created a program it's really for anyone, but it's designed for that person that's, I don't know, do I need an advisor? What? And it goes through 10 items that every single person has questions on, whether you're 26 years old or whether you're 66 years old, from how much should I have in my checking account? How much should I have in my savings account? Emergency funds, what's the difference between a slush fund, a rainy day fund, an emergency fund? How much life insurance should I have? We navigate your employer benefits. So making sure you're set up appropriately that way, saving tax efficiently. It's all the basic stuff that, again, no one talks to you about. No one talks to us about it. But then once you have those items buttoned up, your confidence starts to build. We go through spending. I don't like the word budget. I like spending strategy much better. So we create a spending strategy to find ways of where can we save? What are items that we necessarily don't need to spend money on? And I'm not talking about the $5 cup of coffee. I hate that advice that's given out. I'm talking about
don't take my coffee.
No way. I say that could be the one spot of happiness in someone's whole day is getting their cup of coffee in the morning. Why would I take that away from you? So you'll never hear that advice from me. But once you do these things to build a foundation, and the program's called Financial Foundations, and you build this foundation in order to create wealth, because it's really hard. You can't build a house without a solid foundation, right? We can't feel financially secure if we don't have a solid foundation.
This has been, I can't speak for everybody, but for me personally, it's just always such a good reminder. Like, it's like having a garden. You can't, even if you like started it and planted the seeds, you can't just walk away, leave it alone. Like, it needs to be tended to. We need to, and money's the same way. Like, you plant your seeds, maybe you bought some stocks or whatever, but we have to revisit our finances from time to just optimize, to life changes, our goals change, that's for sure. I know goals I had back in the day just aren't goals anymore. And then I have new goals. And so we change, our families change, our income changes, right? There's so much. And I love the idea that you're there to guide, support, educate. I think it's great. I think what you do is just a great service in the world. Thank you for all that you do. So we have a great resource for all listeners because our guests, I feel, are just the most amazing entrepreneurs out there. We just have people from all walks of life, all career paths. I can't even name on both hands, like the number of just professions that we've had represented on our show. But what we are doing now is we are having all guests submit something, some sort of a gift to listeners, something that there's no cost for that will be helpful to everybody's lives so that we can all help each other and we can all share resources and just work together to make everybody's life a better place. So it is at podcastguestgift.com. So that's where we are putting all of this kind of treasury of free resources from guests. So podcastguestgift.com, all one word, podcastguestgift.com. And I invite you to add something to that treasury. So we would love to have you place something there that would be helpful for people in this goal of all of us tending to our finances better.
I'd love that. Absolutely.
Amazing. So it's been great to have you on the show. I welcome everybody to learn more about you. Where can people find you? What is your website address where they can go directly to learn more about you?
My website is greenwaywealthadvisory.com. And I'm also on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook at Money Chic with Shari.
Money Chic with Shari. I love it. Love it. Love it. I love the word chic, by the way. I just think it's one of those words that sounds exactly like what it means. It was great to have you. I think you're just an amazing person for what you're doing out there to help us all grow in our wealth and also preserve our wealth and secure our future, really. So thank you so much for being on the show and for everything you do.
Thank you.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for joining us and I hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and if you leave a review on iTunes, I promise I will read every single review. If you know someone who makes a full-time living from part-time work, and maybe this is you, please visit lifestylesolopreneur.com to nominate a guest or to nominate yourself. Because remember this, money doesn't buy happiness, but money in the hands of a happy person, there is no greater tool.
Today's episode was brought to you by the Get Shift Done program. It's a lifestyle-changing online class to help you define your business and lifestyle ambitions and to set goals in a way you've never experienced before. This class will 10x your daily productivity with methods that will blow your mind. And if you use the coupon code podcast, the class tuition is 99% off. Visit getshiftdone.com to enroll today.